We're back. We're talking about abusing people for some odd reason. He calls his dick the jawbreaker. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
Thank you for that introduction. Now I'd like to introduce this man. He doesn't call it premature ejaculation. He calls it rapid fire. It's Dromo.
That's actually pretty, you know, because I've been getting him out a lot quicker lately. That's topical. That's very appropriate. Thank you for that, Rob Fortune.
Nice euphemism.
Thank you, my friend. How are you?
Good.
Great. Fucking, all right. He found his best friend on Grindr. It's Mr. Jack Falcon. Oh, shit.
Hello. Yeah, I was going to ask you, actually, if you think the Grindr rap was named after that song.
I was going to make that joke, so we all thought of it.
We're all gay now.
Everyone thought of it. We're all gay, and it's not funny.
Yeah, we're all gay.
Yo, let me tell you, I was out yesterday, right? And, like, you know, everyone was, like, giving away free food for, like, Veterans Day.
Yeah.
I ate at this restaurant, and then I went to go get a cup of coffee. Bro.
Of course you would. Of course you would.
No, listen. I eat at the restaurant, I leave. I'm halfway between going from there to across the street to get coffee. I'm like, I'm going to shit my pants, right? Bro, I go into this Dunkin' Donuts. I go right for the bathroom. Because it's like, I'm not going to order the coffee, wait, like, while I'm about to shit my pants and then take it in with me while I'm, like, taking a gigantic shit, right?
You had a 40. Wait. You had a 40 slip just now. You said, take it into me. Yeah. Yeah,
okay. I'm gay. So anyway, I go into the bathroom. Dude, you remember in Dumb and Dumber, the shit he takes when the, like, toilet's broken?
Oh, yeah.
Bro, that was me. I took the crazy. Dude, it smelled like the aftermath of an atomic bomb. Bro, I took the crazy. And it was like that?
It was like that?
Dude, and it was so, yeah, dude, it was so loud. Like, I kept, like, ripping ass. And this is one of those bathrooms that only has a light switch. There's no fan. And, like, even if the fan doesn't do anything, like, cover the noise up of this room. And so I hope to God someone is not trying to get in the bathroom or is going to use it after me. So I'm trying to, like, shit this out as fast as possible. And it smells fucking atrocious. This was like a triple flusher on, like, an industrial strength toilet. And so I'm like, oh God, I just got to push this out, like, as soon as possible. Because if I leave the bathroom and someone's waiting to come in, it's like, I'm not even buying coffee. I'm just getting the fuck out of here. Yes. See, I think Jomo's the guy who, if you went into a bathroom, a single person bathroom, and you, like, blew it the fuck up, you wouldn't care what anybody thinks, right?
Oh no. So I'm glad you actually told the story about pushing shit out and other shits. But here's the thing is, like, dude, okay. So I was hiking up Mount Woodson in Southern California on Friday, right? Buddy of mine, mm-hmm. he lives right next to me. He's like, hey man, you know, cause we're doing a 50 miler together. He's like, oh man, fucking, let's go hike up this mountain. It's like 2,600 feet elevation gain. It's pretty badass. And we're hiking, but right before, I'm like, fuck man, I gotta take a giant shit. So it's like one of the, I go into this bathroom, it's a single male stall bathroom, right? Right in the park. And I hover squat. And so I could see the shit, like, drop and plop from my ass. So I'm like squatting over it, fucking Iraqi style, like taking a giant shit. And then, like, it smells like death. Like, just straight. You ever smell something that smelled like it had some, like, it was mixed with curry and just hot shit? That was,
I don't know.
It smelled bad. And then this dude walked in, like, wanting to go into the stall, and he didn't see my feet because I was squatting. So he knocked on it. I was like, I'm in here. He's like,
you, by squatting, you mean you were standing on the toilet seat?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's a steel toilet seat. It was a steel toilet seat. I don't sit on steel. So, okay. This is odd. So then, like, I squatted and shit, and the dude was like,
bruh.
And that's what he said. He walked the fuck out. And I was like, I did not feel bad because I saw him outside. He gave me this dirty ass look, and I went out there with no shame. I was like, I don't give a fuck, bro. Like, we're both men. It could be a 12-year-old boy walking in there. I'd be like, sorry, homie. You better figure it out.
Yeah, you got to learn now for the disappointment in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jumbo, let me ask you a question. So you say you don't sit on steel, right?
Yeah.
But what if you walked into that bathroom and it was a regular, like, porcelain with a plastic toilet seat? You sit on that?
No, I triple layer the paper.
You do? I go skin to seat, bro. Straight up. Don't care.
You raw butt toilets? What the fuck's wrong
yeah,
with you,
I raw butt toilets, yeah. I don't because one of toilets, one of bro. One of Becca's friends goes skin to seat, like, female. And she told me that, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to start going skin to seat. She got way more to lose than I do. So yeah, I go skin to seat now everywhere. Like, unless there's like something crazy on the seat, like someone pissed all over it or like a skid mark on it. Yeah, I'm just going to sit on it.
Bro, that's fucking, I don't roll butt shit. Bro, I used to have, here's how paranoid.
Butt.
I don't roll butt toilets for nothing. Bro, I used to carry like alcohol wipes, and I would take that, put it in paper, put it on top of a pile of paper in my hand, and then wipe the seat down, right? And then I'd still put paper down because of the shit. Like, I've seen some bad shit in my day, and I don't want that. I don't want, next thing you know, I got herpes on my butthole. Like, that's not for me, bro. I'm taking the risk. You roll the dice. Anyway.
I'm rolling the dice. Because you guys know I used to never shit in public. Like, I'm over that now. I don't care. I'll shit anywhere. But, like, I was just like, I hope there's no one waiting out there. Oh, and then I walked. So, and then I was done. And it, like I said, it was loud. Like, I was trying to just kind of shit this out as quiet as possible. But, you know, like, you could hear the shit, like, a mile away. So, then, like, I walk out to, you know, I'm going to order the coffee. And like people, I felt like everyone knew that I just took a big fat crazy shit back there. Cause I don't, maybe they were talking about something before, but anyway, I ordered the coffee. I just got the fuck out of there. So, but yeah, this was definitely Dumb and Dumber level. Like, if I wasn't at the bathroom at that minute, I was shitting my pants. There was no other, like, holding this in. It was Satan coming out of my asshole.
I got a question for Rob. Rob, are you a betting man at all? Do you bet anything? You ever just
I don't
impromptu
like
bet? You want? Do you want to try to bet something? You want to bet?
Probably not. No.
Oh, he doesn't bet, bro. All right, fine. Who wants to take the over under on Israel fucking winning or losing this war? Come
on. Joe was just trying to bait Rob into a political conversation. Oh God.
Anyway, we're gonna move on because Rob didn't take the bait. He's like, I knew what the
fuck. This motherfucker. Motherfucker's like, hey, you bet? He's gonna try to bait you into a bullshit conversation. Where's the news sound? Oh, there it is.
we both. What clicked.
What's in the news today, Jomo?
There's nothing in the news. I got nothing. The whole world is on fire. Iceland is having earthquakes. Dogs and cats are living together. It's mass hysteria.
I have a philosophical quote. I can't tell you whether this is true or not, but I'm going to repeat it because I like what I heard. It was something like, if a country has one religion, you can't fucking live there. If a country has two religions, you'll have civil war. If you're like Great Britain and you have 30 religions, then everything will be fine. I don't know if it's true or not, but I feel like, it sounds like it's probably true. Like, if we're all fucking... it's super easy to pick one enemy if there's one fucking zooming thing. But if it's what comedians in New York have always told me is there's no one with enough energy to be like legit racist in New York. It's like you'd be fucking exhausted because you're gonna bump into another one every 5 feet or so. So it's just like, you just learn to like coexist with everything. I mean, like you bump into so much shit that it's just nothing surprises you anymore. And there's probably some truth to that. I think that like, if there's a bunch of stuff going on, you know, you coexist easier. But yeah, one religion, it's just like you either believe or you don't believe, and you persecute the one that's opposite you. And then yeah, if there's two religions or two political parties for that matter, yeah, it's like my team versus your team, and that's like that shit's never fucking going away. That shit's in the human brainstem. It goes back fucking 10,000 years to when we were apes or lizards or whatever. That's fucking basic programming. As if there's two teams, it's fucking murder. So I don't know. Me personally, I want fucking more diversity. So that's my rant.
Yeah, everyone needs to bang everyone. That way, everyone's a mix of everything, and no one can be racist anymore.
There we go. There's the
also religion needs to just fuck off anyway. But that's just me. Sense. That's just me.
I'm all, you know, I like racial comedy. I don't like racism. So
yeah, no, nobody does.
I like playful banter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ready to talk about Judas Priest?
I am, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right, let me drop some artwork. So we're talking about Judas Priest today. We're talking about four records. They have put out a shit ton. I'll talk about all the ones that we are not talking about today at the end of the episode. We did talk about Painkiller a while ago. Don't remember exactly which one that was on. So we're not talking about that today. So member-wise, for the first three records we're talking about, you got Rob Halford as the vocalist, KK Downing as one of the guitar players, Ian Hill as the bass player, Glenn Tipton as the other guitar player, and Dave Holland as the drummer. In 2011, Richie Faulkner replaced whoever was playing guitar at that time and is still in the band today. And then Scott Travis replaced, I think, Dave Holland in 1989. And his first album was Painkiller. So, and he's still with the band as well. So this is pretty much, at any point, there's these five members of what we're talking about. I don't know what happened in between these albums. I believe Judas Priest, their starting year is 1969. So they started a long fucking time ago. Their debut album came out in 1974, and we are starting in 1980. So about 6 years and 6 albums into their career. Is there anything anyone wants to say before we start?
Go ahead.
Okay. Alrighty, British Steel's a 9-track record released in 1980, coming just over 36 minutes long. It's the band's 6th studio album, reaching number 34 on the US Billboard 200 chart, and contains the singles Living After Midnight, Breaking the Law, and United. It's the band's first album to feature Dave Holland on drums. British Steel saw the band reprise the commercial sound they had established in 1978's Killing Machine. This time they abandoned some of the dark lyrical themes which had been prominent on their previous releases, but some of it still remains. British Steel was recorded in December 1979. Digital sampling was not yet widely available at the time, so the band used analog recordings of smashing milk bottles to be included in Breaking the Law, as well as various sounds in Metal Gods produced by billiard cues and trays of cutlery. The album was remastered in 2001 with 2 bonus tracks added, Red, White, and Blue, which was written in the sessions for their 1986 album Turbo, and a live performance of Grinder, which was recorded on May 5th, 1984 in Los Angeles during the Defenders of the Faith tour. In 2009, Judas Priest kicked off their 30th anniversary tour in the U.S. By playing British Steel live in its entirety for the first time. The only other Priest albums, of which all the songs have been performed live are 1984's Defenders of the Faith and 1974's Rock-a-Rolla, but neither of them were played in their original LP running order or during the same tour. British Steel has been certified platinum. Rob, what do you think of this record?
I loved it. Now, so remember that I loved Painkiller, and that was a band like that. I started listening to Judas Priest like 2 months ago, and I kind of thought like I had like a lukewarm like beginning to it. I'm like, I don't know if this shit's cliche or something, but like I came to like love them like just as like a pop fun. It's not like pop, but like, you know, this is shit that's written like with like hooks in mind. You know, it's not super technical. It's written for like, you know, memorable, fucking catchy, you know, whatever. But yeah, I kind of it surprised me, and I've been listening to it ever since. So like I chose Judas Priest like hoping for something fucking good, more of that shit that I like. And so I put on British Steel first. And like 3 seconds in, I'm like, I'm a fucking genius. I love myself for picking this because I was fucking in. And I don't know how many times you like hear 1 second of something and already love it, but like fucking, I fucking love that feeling. It's so good. Now, this album, I'm reading Rick Rubin's book. It's called like On Creativity or whatever the fuck it's called. It's really fucking good. And one of the things he talks about is like, experiment with removing stuff. Like if you remove stuff and then like the thing is gone, like it's totally fucking unrecognizable, that means you found what the essence is. Like, and sometimes you want to remove just about everything that isn't the essence, because stuff like that might just be like clouding your image and your vision or your whatever. And that was like a perfect thing for me to read, because I feel like British Steel has this less is more brilliance. It just fucking like, it cut me to the core. And this album is so like simple on so many levels. Like the drums, the drummer will go a long fucking time without playing a fill, and then sometimes he'll play a fill and it sounds huge. First of all, this dude must have loved John Bonham. I think Zeppelin was huge in like 69-71 and all that, so this is 8 years later and down the street. These are both British bands, I think. And the drums sound huge, like the toms sound huge, and like the drummer will hit a fucking cymbal and it sounds so fucking loud, and it's such a different sound than the modern, you know, triggered everything. I don't know, I really fucking like that sound. And yeah, you listen to the first track, what's it called, Rapid Fire. There's not a ton of drum fills, but every fucking drum fill in that song I fucking love. And I love that it's not overcrowded with bullshit. It's like, it sounds like fucking energetic punk metal stuff, just with nothing. Like it's exactly the I don't know, it's everything on the level of energy and emotion, and so like fucking everything that's there I just fucking love so much. So I feel that with less is more brilliance, like Rapid Fire. I fucking love that song so much. It's a song in which like it really fucking takes its time, and there's not a ton of I loved the other Judas Priest album, like for its sweep picking and like the crazy guitar work, but this album, I mean, I don't think there's very much of that. That song Breaking the Law, I thought I fucking hated Breaking the Law. I don't know, I think I decided this week that I hate like Garage Band and Guitar Hero and those games, because there were so many songs on that game that I like heard for basically the first time, and I'm like, this song's okay. I don't know, I don't understand people, I don't understand why they like what they like, I don't fuck like this stuff is just okay to me. And this is like the ninth time that I've heard the original, because like Garage Band and all that, those are covers made by, you know, so this is like the ninth time that I've heard a song, like the real song, the real version by the real band, and I'm like, this is a million fucking times better than the cover version I heard. Now I understand why this is a hit. Like Breaking the Law, I was hearing this song, I'm like, here's a fucking basic song that like first time guitar players will like learn, fucking, you know, boring straight minor stuff. I don't know, just the more I listened to it, the better it fucking felt. It's like this isn't Animals as Leaders, this isn't it's not impressive on that level, but it just fucking hit me in the chest, and like I'm listening to it over and over and over. I don't know, I had a good fucking time this week. Yeah, Rapid Fire, love. Metal Gods was probably the song I had in my head the most this week. Remember that, like, I'm an Amazon driver, and I spend 11 hours like with the music off. It's just me in the head and me like trying not to get in car accidents. But like, yeah, like Metal Gods is playing in my head for like most of this week. And like, that's a fucking song. Like, okay, so the bass guitar, I'm used to modern metal or whatever, where it's loud guitars and the bass is felt but not heard. You know, Metal Gods is a song where like bass is holding down the rhythm. You feel it, you hear it. It's, you got foxtrots, you got this whole fucking thing. The guitars over it are doing, okay, wait, I might be thinking of a different song. But anyways, yeah, the bass gives me the rhythm and the feeling, and then you got like guitars on top of it, and okay, yeah. Another couple of things I want to, another point I want to make about the less is more thing. There are so many, okay, simple elements. It's like, what do I love so much about this album? It's every key change feels profound. Like the musical elements that are there, I feel like are so fucking effective, and the, like, it's not a fucking hidden thing buried. It's like right fucking, yeah, like it's key changes, it's mood changes. Metal Gods is like that's a fucking metal song, but like the chorus has this like major key like bliss to it, and like the lead lines behind it, it's like closer to classic rock than metal, but I don't know, it's fucking working for me. So yeah, and that's not the only major key. Okay, let's see. Okay, Living After Midnight, I get a sort of like Van Halen one riff. Yeah, this album came out in 1980, so it's 2 years after Van Halen one. So I think they were trying to be Van Halen with that song, make a one riff. I might be talking about the wrong song here. Okay, well, anyways, okay, yeah. It's Living After Midnight. Yeah, that is the one riff song. Yeah, it's like I like that song, but like the one riff thing annoys me. I need more key changes. I need more whatever. The Rage is a song I wanted to talk about. The Rage is a weird song. Like it has a weird intro, like odd rhythms on the bass and like a reggae like guitar, and I'm like, this is in this and it's really minor, and then Rob Halford acts like an instrument. So you got like the vocalist, the singer, he like to do a lead in to the next riff, like Rob Halford like arpeggiates, like he accentuates a thing, and I wouldn't have noticed this if it wasn't spelled out for me note for note like this. But it's like I'm into the minorness of it, and then like the last chord of the thing is major, and then Rob Halford fucking arpeggiates over it, and I'm just like, I would never have, like, I don't, my mind kind of exploded in this moment. I'm like, this is why I love music. It's like on some level, my brain is like everything and music has been done. And then I hear something like that, and I'm like, I forgot how important this major and minor combination thing is. And I'm just like, this makes me want to be in a fucking band. This makes me excited about music again. It also makes me like, it excites me so much because I haven't seen this level of teamwork in a while. I'm so used to like the singer who's a fuck and thinks the whole fucking world is about him, or the singer who's basically fucking useless and just like says lyrics to a metronome, and then he does that because or he has to do that because there's no fucking room for him because everyone else is, I don't know. So here's this moment where like they kind of take turns as to who's going to do the lead in, who's going to do the transition, and it's just like every fucking member has to be here. Oh, and like another back to Wes's Moore stuff. There's a moment in Breaking the Law. In the documentary that I watched, it was so fucking weird watching this documentary after the Motley Crue documentary, because the Motley Crue documentary was very like American VH1, like cut. Here's a celebrity. Here's another celebrity. Here's another celebrity. Here's another celebrity. And then the British calmness of this Judas Priest documentary, and how like the guitar player will be like, yeah, and then I joined the band that already existed, and the one good thing that came out of that is we got to keep the Judas Priest name, which was good because it's a memorable name. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is so fucking like slow and like quietly British compared to the Motley Crue documentary. Anyways, where was I going with all this? One thing they said in that documentary is certain people liked how there was a two guitar sound to this band, and you know, I forget that because in the modern day, like every fucking metal band has two guitar players. It's like you wouldn't fucking dare be a one guitar player metal band these days. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. But yeah, it's like, I don't know how many bands back then had one fucking guitar player, and then this band had two. And it's just like, well, they don't really shove this in your face, and that's one thing I love. There are so many like quiet moments in which like it's like all these different measures of Breaking the Law. That song is so simple, but like all these measures are slightly different because like one guitar player is holding down the main riff that everyone fucking knows, but the rhythm behind it is changing slightly, not even in this in your face obvious way, but yet those changes change the whole fucking feeling and the dynamic thing of the song. And so it's just like, this fucking song gets better the more I hear it. And then again, back to breaking the law, the end of it. And like this drummer who plays like so few fills. And at the end of this fucking song, he adds more and more fills to like, there's this, I fucking love this shit. It's like, how much is overplaying? Sometimes overplaying is horrendous, but sometimes you do it and there's nothing fucking better. Okay. Well, anyways, I'm going to wrap this up. I fucking love this album. I'm going to keep listening to it. This is staying on my playlist first for the week. That's it.
Okay. I want to give you the clap. Hang on a second.
I got.
This is a fucking banger record. It's not my favorite by the band. It's definitely nothing short of classic. Artwork of this record is fucking classic as well. So yeah, I was a person who never dove into Judas Priest. I always heard everyone talking about them. I've come across their records many times. I've never really listened to them besides the songs that were on the radio. And that is definitely like one of the biggest musical mistakes that I've ever made. I'm not really embarrassed about it though, because, you know, I'm awake now, especially from Painkiller. I could have gone my entire life asleep to Judas Priest and I didn't, and I'm thankful for that. These guys had an incredible release schedule. They released 11 records in 15 years between 1974 and 1990. And, as far as I know, pretty much everything is fucking awesome. This is another one of those records that has like 15 different track listings. So depending on like which year it came out, who put it out, whatever, there's all kinds of different ways to listen to this. But this is a classic record. However, the other ones kind of blew me away more than this. And the thing of it is, like, I'm not trying to be rude when I say, like, I give this personally, like, number four for the week. But it's because the other ones, I don't know, did a lot more for me personally. But, like, Breaking the Law, right? Banger song. My buddy and I used to do a bunch of stuff at work that we weren't supposed to do. And every time we did it in a meeting, like in an online meeting, we would play Breaking the Law. We'd have it in the background while we were doing it. And so I have good memories of that. Love driving around to Breaking the Law. I love that song. The main riff of that song is like a drug. I can't get enough of it. So then you have a song like Living After Midnight, which is like a perfect like single for this album. It's another one that personally I've cranked it many times. I will again. I love the song to death. I think it's catchy. The guitar solo reminds me of Angus Young. And I'm going to touch on Judas Priest and AC/DC more on the next album, but there's definitely a Venn diagram of these two colliding. And I'm not exactly sure why it's happened. The song you brought up, Rapid Fire, that I consider that song like banger status. And these dudes, like the thing about Judas Priest and the thing that I... like once you start listening to these guys, you realize like these dudes are the real fucking deal. They are one of the kings of metal. They deserve every fucking compliment they get, and they're fucking awesome. When I was listening to these guys all week, it was like I couldn't get enough of them. Dave Mustaine brings up the album Sad Wings of Destiny, which came out in like 1978 or something, which is one I want to dive into at some point. I also have not listened to it yet, but yeah, there's a lot of history of this band that I want to dive into, and the more I kind of get into them, the more I want to go further in. John, what do you think of this album? What do you think of this album?
We're talking about British Steel.
Yeah.
You said I just want to go further in. Of course you do. You're gay.
What would make you gayer quicker, Rob Halford or the three guys from Motley Crue on the cover of?
The crew first, but like, yeah. If I'm gonna fall back on anyone and like get gay married, it's gonna be with Rob Halford. I can't do it with Freddie Mercury because obviously the AIDS and all that stuff.
good God. Okay.
But Rob Halford, dude, like the dude can belt it out, man. There's not one fucking bad thing on this fucking album. There's no slouch in it. I don't have much to say this week, you know, because I listen to it, but there's certain parts of every album that just have this absolute redeeming quality. And for British Steel, like, I don't know, man. It's just different for me. I understand Rob Halford's intentions with his vocals and the lyrics. I do think though that he might have AIDS, and it's just no. Because of the amount of bathhouse fucking that guy got into. It's Breaking the Law. Got it. This is what bothered me though. is Rob started off like with some hate, and then he reels you back in, right? Like you're a dumb fish. And I felt like a dumb fish because I was just like, I was getting a little agitated. He was talking about breaking the law in such a bad way. It's not even my jam, but it's still a fucking hit, bro. You know, it's just, you got to respect the goddamn song because it's so popular. They have Taylor Swift could cover it and, you know, it'd be a fucking great hit, but they wouldn't know who the fuck really sang it. Just because Judas Priest doesn't get the love they deserve. I thought British Steel was pretty good. Overall, it's kind of a slow album for me. It's got very Iron Maiden-ish feels with the guitars. Other than that, man, it's just, it's good, man. It's not great for me, but it's good.
Yeah, I hear you. Metal Gods. Sorry. What's up? Mm-mm. Okay.
I just want to really interrupt you.
Oh, okay. So Rob Halford, I don't remember when he came out of the clouds. I think it was like late 90s. So it was later. Like Freddie Mercury was one of the first like very famous gay musicians or like out of the closet for, you know, the world. Metal Gods, the chorus for that song is like a really weird choice. I do like that song quite a bit though. Grindr, of course, you know, that's the name that's where the name for the app came from. Mm-hmm. So there's a song in here like United, right? I went the entire week thinking the name of that song was Untitled. And I was like, why would you name a song that? Anyway, it is not named that. That's why they wouldn't name a song like that. But I would say, like, for me, that's like an odd choice for a single, right? Because the song sticks out in the mix to me every time I hear it. Not my jam, but like when I'm listening to it, I was like, okay, I know this song had to have done well for the band, and I know people have to love this song. And then I look at the comments and people are like, yeah, this is the heavy metal anthem, period. And then someone says like, metalheads, please rise for your national anthem. I mean, that's kind of like lame to kind of say that shit. The song in general is one that I don't know, like, it does stick out to me where it's like, I don't know if I really even like it, but again, there's something for everyone. And you know, there's going to be people who are like, yo, this is the fucking metal anthem, whether it is or not. It's not to me, it's to other people. That's fine. Rob brought up the song, The Rage, right? When you listen to that, like Rob Halford just has such a great voice. The compliments for him being praised on the music, I've seen more as we go further into the band's career. Not saying he doesn't get praised here, but like I see more constant comments of people praising his voice a little further in the future. The Rage, though, is like one of my favorites of his singing on this record. And it's really good. The reason like I give this 4 is just it's not because it's bad. It's just because the other ones just, I don't know, took me right by the balls a bit more than this one did. But I do like this record. It's classic. There are some people, as we're going to read some of the YouTube comments, some people say, like, this is the best fucking metal album of all time. Like, first comment, anyone who has never listened to their library of music is only denying themselves of some of the most melodic, fun, and intriguing metal ever written. And I agree. Like I was saying, I've gone way too long without diving into this band's discography. Next comment, it still rocks me to the core. Next one, a metal classic, their best album, never get tired of it. Next comment, I haven't heard it in years and still sounds as killer as it did back in 1980. And lastly, it's the greatest heavy metal album ever made. It will never be surpassed, ever. Every song is a gem. So there's quite a bit of love for this record. It's cool that they played it in its entirety. That I feel like that whole thing of playing albums full from beginning to end is something that's relatively recent. Not saying people weren't doing it at points in the 80s and 90s or whatever, but it seems like it's really popular right now, especially if there's an album that came out 25, 30 years, whatever, enough to be like nostalgic. And then they come back and play the whole thing. I saw Through Being Cool and I saw Is a Real Boy, both back to back played in full, and it's a really cool experience, especially if you really like the record. Is there anything that anybody else wants to say about British Steel?
Yeah, correction. You don't have to be old to be wise is the one riff song. Living After Midnight has more than one riff.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff. Living After Midnight is a fucking banger. All right, let me drop some artwork and we'll move on. All right, Screaming for Vengeance is a 10-track record released in 1982, coming in just under 39 minutes long. It's the band's eighth studio album, reaching number 17 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles You've Got Another Thing Coming and Take These Chains. Considered the band's commercial breakthrough, it spawned the hit You Got Another Thing Coming, which became one of the band's signature songs and a radio favorite. Screaming for Vengeance was recorded in Spain with mixing and overdubs done in Florida. It showcased a harder, heavier sound than British Steel and saw the band reverse back into straight, heavy rock after the melodically style point of entry in 1981. The album also marks the first time a drummer played on more than two Judas Priest albums, with Dave Holland having also played on British Steel and Point of Entry. The album's most commercial successful track, You've Got Another Thing Coming, was a last-minute addition. According to guitarist KK Downing, we were quite happy with the album but decided late on that we could add one more song. I know we had some of the parts, but we set about completing Another Thing Coming during the mixing sessions. It came together quite quickly, and I seem to remember that we all had a good feeling about it, as it did sound like a good driving song and possibly a good radio track. Rob Halford expressed surprise at the song's success, saying the track was buried. Normally the tracks you think are going to do stuff are at the front of the, are at the front end of the release, but our friends at Sony said we're going to go for this song, and we really didn't know what was going on, but then the feedback was coming in, hey, the record's buzzing in this town, in that town, and it just took off. Screaming for Vengeance was released in July 1982 with a remastered CD released in May 2001. Fight for Your Life, recorded during the Screaming for Vengeance sessions, was left off, but was subsequently reworked as the song Rock Hard, Ride Free on the next album, 1984's Defenders of the Faith. As the album's 30th anniversary in 2012, it remains the top-selling release of Judas Priest's career. To celebrate its 30th anniversary, a remastered CD with bonus 1982 live tracks and a bonus DVD of the band's performance from the 1983 U.S. Festival were released. The World Vengeance Tour began shortly after the album's release in July 1982 and focused on North America during the summer and fall. Priest not performing in Europe until December 1983. This emphasis on the U.S. audience was in order to establish a solid commercial foothold there, and in particular because You've Got Another Thing Coming became a major hit. That and Electric Eye became live set staples and some of the band's most performed songs. Devil's Child has also been performed on various tours between 1982 and 2008. Screaming for Vengeance has been certified 2x platinum. Jomo, do you have anything to say about Screaming for Vengeance?
Very little, but a few good things. A few bad things. Record fucks for sure. The album artwork, it looks like the gay pride flag of the Air Force.
Okay.
I'm waiting for those last. God damn it, I'm doing my best. Ian Hill and Glenn Tipton, they look like they were killed and then brought back to life just to play for this damn band. Like, they just look old as shit. Screaming for Vengeance is my fucking jam. Great song. There's a lot of balls and speed, but lacks the girth. And here's what a lot of the riffs, here's the bad and the negative. There's like AC/DC feels in these fucking riffs, and I don't like it, bro. It gives me like this very off-putting, because I don't like AC/DC as it is. I fucking am wholeheartedly against AC/DC. I don't know how they became a band. I don't know why they're popular. I hate all their fans and their children's fans, the children's children, and all that. And 10 generations down the road, inshallah. It's a good album, but it's just, once I started hearing shit that sounded like fucking AC/DC riffs, I checked out, man. So then that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Okay. So this has the worst offender of it. I'm going to bring it up too. Yeah. Okay. So these guys at some point were influenced by AC/DC. I'm not exactly sure when this happened. And it could be mixed in some other places here, but the big fucking offender is Devil's Child, which is the last song on this album. Okay. So it makes me want, like, when I hear this song, I'm trying to understand, like, how a song like this was even written, right? Because, okay, Judas Priest and AC/DC are two completely different sounding bands. So how the fuck does Priest end up writing a song that sounds exactly like AC/DC? Like, listen to the chorus of Devil's Child. Like, everything mm-hmm. about that is AC/DC. And so I like any, like when you listen to that song on YouTube and there's a billion comments and everyone's like, oh, best song on the album. Oh, my favorite Priest song. If you think this is the best song on this record or is your favorite Judas Priest song, congratulations. Like, you fucking love AC/DC, not necessarily fucking Judas Priest. I'm giving this album number one for me for the week. And throughout this record, I actually get some South of Heaven vibes, the Slayer record that came after Rain and Blood, at different points of this record. Everything about this album does it for me. There's tons of highs, and it was a toss up a couple times of which was going to be my number one, but I finally settled on this one. This album starts with a 42 second opener called The Hellion. It's fucking beautiful. It's awesome, right? You get these guitar minis and everything. It's how you do an intro. Short, badass, right to the point, transitions perfectly into Electric Eye, which is banger status song, one of my favorites by the entire band this week. And I would say that a song like that doesn't get enough love because it wasn't a single, but if you go and listen to the Electric Eye on YouTube, it has 6 million views. So a song that wasn't a single, to have 6 million views is substantial. Song fucking rips. Another song in here called Fever. So there are some albums, especially one that we listened to with, like, as an example, not especially like that one, but an example of One by One by the Foo Fighters, where people said the second half of that album is boring or it sucks or it's lame. Okay, there are a bunch of albums that people would say that for. Okay. This album is not one of those records, right? In my opinion, this record like bangs all the way through. Fever's fucking awesome. You got Another Thing Coming, which is fucking classic. Everyone knows it. And I'm not surprised that this song was made last and made quickly, because there are so many big songs throughout time that have come into existence that way. It's like, oh, hey, we need one more song. And this song gets shit out and it becomes like one of the biggest songs of the band's career. There's a song, Kissing the Shadows by Children of Bodom, that was like written and recording in the studio and is personally like one of my favorite songs ever by that band. I'm happy that we live in a world where this exists, because I think they kind of had a couple of these riffs floating around to where they're like, hey, we have room for another song. We got time in the studio. Let's do that. And let's create this. And, like, the guitar solo in that song by itself is like one of my favorites by the band. It gets me rock hard. So it's cool that we live in a world where this actually came like into being, was fucking awesome, became one of the biggest hits for the band, and just an awesome song in general. Rob, what do you think of this record?
I want to talk about that. Like, you know, this song sounds like AC/DC thing. Yeah. So like, one of my complaints about the last album was like the one song that sounded like a Van Halen song, and then the song after it sounded like a song by The Who or something. I was wondering this week, like, whether there was pressure from a fucking like a record label to something, and I don't know. I don't really think that's it. I think in their documentary, they were on fucking BBC in like 1974 or some shit, and they were under a lot of pressure at the time to like, okay, you know, we know exactly what we want here at the BBC. You're going to turn your amp to 4, not to 5, not to 3, exactly to 4. And they're like, okay, well, we can't get our sustain that we want if we do that. But we need the publicity, so we'll fucking do it. And I saw that TV performance, and it was like good. It was, I don't know, some kind of like prog classic rock thing, and I don't know. So that's kind of how I see this band, is I think they have a bunch of interests and they'll do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Like, You Got Another Thing Coming, I kind of don't see that as a metal song. It's like the guitar tone is something else. I'm getting some kind of like 80s dance vibe, or, you know, not exactly, but like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like there's a lot of chorus on the guitars on some of these like songs, and even on some of the like vocals, I think. So they're like experimenting with some effects, and it's not all metal. And I don't know that that's really against them. I think it's, you know, sometimes I'm like, I think this band is maybe more influential than I had realized at first, because I don't know. I'm getting vibes that they experiment a bit, and I imagine they, in the same way that I'm getting inspired listening to this, I'm sure that other people are like, oh yeah, we, you know, just because we are a metal band some of the time, we can also fuck around with this and that. I don't know. I think it's good. Yeah. Like you're saying, the Hellion, fucking awesome guitar minis. Electric Eye. Okay, on Spotify, Electric Eye has 65 million plays, which, like, most of these songs have 2 million, 7 million. So, like, Electric Eye is, you know, yeah, and You Got Another Thing Coming has 121 million. So Electric Eye has half the plays as You Got Another Thing Coming. So, like, Electric Eye is fucking big on Spotify. And, yeah, I fucking love that song, too. What do I have for notes on it? Yeah, one thing I love about, like, that song is the vocal, like, he has a couple of different, like, styles Rob Halford plays with. He's got I don't know, like, a softer something style. And then he's got, like, the high voice. And then he's, you know, he's got a couple of different things. And, you know... You know a lot of metalcore vocalists who have, like, four different growls and inward screams or whatever the fuck they're called, and, like, you know, that's their whole fucking shtick. But back in 82, I don't know, Rob Halford's doing something nice and purposeful here. Like, there's a dynamic fucking story going on here. By playing with his volume while everyone else in the band kind of stays even, you know, he's changing the whole shape of the song. While keeping it catchy and fucking, yeah. So I love the teamwork that you see on this album. Now, is Bloodstone awesome or annoying? I've been talking about how, like Rapid Fire on the first album, I love how repetitive that song is. There's a certain stoner. I don't talk about this a lot, or maybe actually I do. I don't force the podcast to listen to stonery music. I listen to a lot of, like, slow, fucking droney, repetitive shit. I know that I imagine that Jomo fucking hates music like that. So, I mean, why would I make him listen to it? But, like, you know, when I listen to some of these Judas Priest songs have a fucking stoner vibe to me that's just like, okay, well, yeah, they wouldn't be the first. Black Sabbath is considered, like, the first, like, stoner metal band by some standards, and that was 1970, so this is 12 years afterwards. Okay, yeah, fine. Anyways, I still fucking... I think there is awesome stonery stuff here. Yeah, back to my question. Is Bloodstone awesome or annoying? You got this, like, the bass is doing this sweet foxtrot groove. That's back to that, like, you know, yeah, expressive and expansive lead guitar over this, like, simple but, like, fucking ballsy rhythm based bass. Like, I fucking love all that. And then there's a simple one word vocal chorus. Do I love this or do I hate it? It's repeated like fucking 32 times, I swear to God. Yeah, so I think I want the last double chorus to be shortened to a normal chorus, and then I think it's perfect. You know, so I'm a little bit annoyed at that, but whatever. It's still pain or pleasure. The vocals are weird, but there were these moments where, like, the drums just bash a cymbal. It's like a fucking John Bonham moment for me, and the beat stops and they sustain a heavy chord, and it just hits so powerful. This is like that stoner, like, metal shit, and this is 1982, so this is way before some of the other bands that I like. I don't know, I'm glad. I imagine a parallel reality where stoner shit never becomes a reality, and it's just like it's a fucking dark, dismal place that I don't want to live. So I'm glad for songs like Pain or Pleasure. You Got Another Thing Coming. I don't know that I like that song as much as everyone else. It's weird that they took the bite out of the distortion. But I don't know. Fuck it. I'm glad that this song worked for them. I'm giving this album second for the week. That's it.
Yeah, the guitar tone You Got Another Thing Coming is going to stick out probably to everybody. I don't know if it's because, like, they said they had written it or, like, put it together and recorded it last. If, like, they had already wrapped up what they were doing before and then they reset things up to record and it was different setups or whatever. But yeah, you were right, though, that there's something up with the guitar tone in that song, and it's not like the rest of the record. Pain and Pleasure, I'm good. I'm gonna call that a banger as well. When I get to that point in the album, I'm like, these dudes can do no wrong to me, and I hope so. Like, I hope there's not a bad Judas Priest record at some point. I will make my way through the whole discography. I hope they don't have a shitter. But with the five that we've listened to, I'm like, I fucking love everything these guys do. They have a song called Take These Chains. I don't care who fucking makes fun of me. I love that song. I'm fully leaning into it. I've listened to it 1,000 times this week. I'll listen to it 5,000 more. And if people give me shit, I'll listen to it 10,000 more. I fucking don't care. Nice. That song, but here's the thing, besides the selling potential of that song, because it's, you know, people can sing along to it. It can get on the radio, it's catchy as shit, so it's going to get stuck in your head. So the selling potential is high as hell. But besides that, I would have picked a different song to be the second single over it. However, I'm going to guess that it did well for them. And I don't know how I've never heard the song before, but I'm like, when I originally posted that song in the Discord, I said, I'm gay now. And that still stands. Riding on the Wind, I'm giving that song banger status as well. Like, these dudes are fucking awesome. They really are great. And like when I was saying, like, okay, these guys put out 11 albums in 15 years. And it's like, how can you be this awesome this regularly for this long? These guys were playing together, they just had it, you know what I mean? And they did a great job with taking everything they did like seriously and doing an awesome job with it. Bloodstone, song that Rob brought up. Okay, I'm going to say that like Rob Halford is the fucking king for singing that song live. So when we go through some of the songs on these records, sometimes I hear other bands, sometimes it's even Judas Priest. I hear like, okay, that's like, I think it was like Electric Eye parts in that. I hear like Breaking the Law. So there are times where I hear previous songs in the songs that I'm currently listening to. There are other songs that I hear, like somewhere I was hearing an Iron Maiden song and I was like, which song is it? I looked up like 12 Iron Maiden songs and it was none of those. So it's one, I don't know which one it is. And then of course we talked about AC/DC, but there are points where I'm getting stuff from other bands. However, with Bloodstone, I'm just like, this, like, okay, so we get in similar shit from before or whatever, but like when I hear Bloodstone, it's like, this doesn't remind me of like of any of their stuff. And so like when I hear a song like that, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is different, and I'm in love with it, and I think it's fucking great. Yeah, this, I don't know, this album for me, it was a toss-up, because I went between a couple of them, and I'm kind of settling on this being my number one for the week. And really where that starts is like the guitar minis coming into play, like really prominent, which I don't know if there was a record in between this and British Steel. I don't remember, but they're really starting here, and it's my shit. So let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First, Rob Halford's vocals on this record have no equal. The man is a metal god. And yeah, like I was saying, this starting with this album is where I'm just seeing Rob Halford like praised every single comment. Next one, great metal never dies. It just finds a new generation to appreciate it. Next one says every song is killer, but Halford is just a beast. Next comment, I'm so lucky to live in an era that these guys made metal what it is. And lastly, the sheer amount of some of the absolute best albums of all time that were produced between 1980 and 1984 is mind-boggling. Yeah, the 80s in general is a good era of music. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about Screaming for Vengeance before we move on?
Next. Screaming for anal. Let's go.
Nice.
No anal, ring.
I was talking to Becca about when Rob Halford, like, after he was like, yeah, I'm gay, he's like an assless chaps riding out on like a motorcycle all in leather. Like, he's like, yo, we're out the closet. It doesn't matter anymore. Mm. And I fucking love that.
Yeah.
Yo, assless chaps need to come back. Jomo, do you want a pair?
Bro, I want a pair. If you get it for me for Christmas, I'll be cool with it.
So when you wear assless chaps, you're supposed to wear like something else, right?
No,
you wear just those. So you're, but wouldn't your like dick hang out?
I mean, you could just wear like a jock strap.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you just cover the bulge, but you know, just let off the
crack. Just make it so you don't get arrested.
Let off the crack, brother.
All right, Defenders of the Faith's a 10-track record released in 1984, coming in just under 40 minutes long. It's the band's ninth studio album, reaching number 18 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart, and contains the singles Free Wheel Burning, Some Heads Are Gonna Roll, and Love Bites. Defenders of the Faith was also recorded in Spain and mixed from September to November 1983 in Miami, Florida. The album and the LP and cassette tape were released on January 4th, 1984, and a CD in July. Simultaneously with the album's release, the band kicked off their tour in Europe, with the bulk of concerts taking place in North America during the spring and summer. Stylistically, Defenders of the Faith did not greatly depart from its predecessor and featured a similar formula of short, up-tempo up-tempo metal anthems with stadium shout-along choruses, although progressive elements returned on some tracks, such as The Sentinel. The track Rock Hard, Ride Free is actually a reworking of the track Fight for Your Life, recorded during the 1982 Screaming for Vengeance sessions, but not included on that album. Defenders was an immediate success, only going one spot below Screaming for Vengeance on the U.S. Billboard 100 chart. Some critics nonetheless objected to the lack of standout single comparable to Breaking the Law or You've Got Another Thing Coming, and the album's general similarity to Screaming for Vengeance. Eat Me Alive was listed at number 3 on PMRC's Filthy 15, a list of 15 songs that the organization found the most objectionable. Tipper Gore stated that the song was about oral sex at gunpoint.
I hate that
In response to the allegations, Priest recorded the song Parental Guidance on the follow-up album 1986's Turbo. Defenders of the Faith has been certified platinum. So yeah, of the original stuff, this is the one that I was going back and forth with. Is this my favorite of the week? Is it my second favorite of the week or my third? The later one I adore, but it's kind of like, it's kind of out of context to compare one of those to these. It's like a different, you know, era of the band, but still whatever, we're comparing them. The quality of this record is fucking great. Again, I'm still amazed at the released output for this band, and everything in my opinion just seems like upped for this record. Like it goes really hard. Like guitars seem to be straight up let off the chain on this album. This is not the final form. I'm considering the final form of this band to be like Painkiller. Like it's not the final form, but like it's getting there. It's close. So yeah, I think I'm going to give this 3. It's between 2 and 3 for me. So like they're right that there is not that big signature song from this record. Like if I were to ask people like what is a single off Defenders of the Faith, a lot of people probably wouldn't know. But like, so like Love Bites, the first time that I heard that, like the chorus of the song, I was like, okay, this has to be a single. You could fucking sell this to anybody. It's a prime candidate for one. It's like catchy as shit. And of course it was. And yeah, it's good. Now that's a song that might bore people. So like I was saying on the last album, like there are songs that like I'm all in on that, like I Take These Chains, like people might be like, yeah, it's boring, whatever, metal schlock, whatever people decide to call it. But I was like, I'm leaning in. I don't care. I'm in with it. Love Bites, I think I'm in with as well. But this album starts with the first single, which is Free Will Burnin', which is fucking, yo, first of all, like no brainer single and a perfect way to start the album off. One of my favorite Priest songs, it has like just these gigantic like set of balls. You got guitar minis and they're so goddamn good. And like when I hear that song, it's like, what was everybody else doing at this time? Pick something from another band that's as badass as this. And I want to hear it because like this song to me is like on its own level. Jawbreaker, that's a song that just sounds like primed to be a fucking single. It's another one of my favorites on there. I was humming it like all week long. And yeah, another one I'll talk about, like Sentinel, right? Like I love that song. I'm awarding it banger status. There is a lot of cool stuff going on here. Again, it's a toss-up. I mean, there are people who are going to say this is the best Judas Priest album, and they're not necessarily wrong. I think this style, this era between, you know, Screaming for Vengeance and this are really what's like giving me that guitar boner. Rob, what do you think of this record?
So to me, the drums sound like, I don't know, drum machine-y. So Free Will Burnin', I hear something glitchy. I don't know if my internet is glitchy or if it's sloppy. Jawbreaker, there's like a note in the beginning that like, I feel like there's a note that on the bass that doesn't fucking fit. And the Sentinel, like my ears perked up at this lead near the end of the song. And then it sounds like there's an off-time drum fill near the end of it. And like the sloppiness has taken me out. There's too much reverb on the vocals. Like, I don't know if I had low blood sugar when I was listening to this, but like I didn't particularly care for this album. I'm giving it 4th place. That's it.
One of the things I want to talk about is the last song in this album, Defenders of the Faith. And I brought this up, I think, with Painkiller, that there's a song that I think that instead of just throwing it away, they decided to stick it at the very end of the record. And I was saying, I believe like the way it sound is like, it sounds like it was supposed to start the record off, but then the drums sounded so badass that they were like, let's start the record like that. And then instead of putting it in the middle, they kind of, instead of just throwing it away, they could have put it in the middle. They put it at the end, which was like the most odd choice of it to like go in the track list. Defenders of the Faith, like, is a song where it's like, I don't know what to say about this. It's like, it's another one where they could have just stuck it in the beginning. And I feel like it was supposed to be the intro to the record, but like Free Will Burnin' was so much fucking better. So they were like, okay, well, we want that song to start it, but we already have this recorded, so we're going to stick it somewhere. So it's like, okay, they could have stuck it somewhere in the middle. But I don't know. It's just like, what the fuck do you do with the song? Just throw it out. And then they ended up naming the album after it. So still throw it fuck out. I don't have to say, like, when I hear it, it's like, what is this? What do you even do with this? There's a song on this album also called Night Comes Down. And, I think it's a ballad. I don't know, but I think it's a Judas Priest ballad. It feels like it is anyway. And yeah, there's sometimes where I think about you guys when I listen to these songs and it's like, would anybody really be into this? Should I be into this? I don't know. Maybe. But I feel like the songs like Night Comes Down, like, win me over at the end. Because, yeah, everyone is, like, on point, and they're fucking great. The music's great. The recording's great. Everything's great. Jumbo, what do you think of this record?
Oh, dude, it's fucking fantastic, man. The album artwork is fucking tremendous. But throughout the whole fucking album, while I was listening to it, man, it just felt like the vocals were a bit subdued. And I'm not saying... it's kind of piggybacking off of what Rob said. It's like, maybe it was a quality I was listening to on YouTube. So I've been mostly going to YouTube now to fuck up my algorithm and listen to the albums that that we go through. But I just felt like there could have been better balance for it. I just felt like maybe Rob Halford's voice, you know, kind of took a step back or a seat back and just whatever, man. The music is legit overall. What throws me off is I know that Rob Halford can pull bitches and men, and it pisses me off that he's not cornering the market, man. He's only cornering the gay butthole market. He could be cornering the female butthole market, and I'm bothered by it, man. And I think I could appreciate a leather daddy here and there. I'm not totally into it. I'm not saying I'm opposed to it, you know, but I'm 40's coming up close, you know. You might have to change it up for the second half of my life. All right, that wasn't funny. All right, I give it a 7 out of 10 for the week, though. Great fucking album. Again, it feels there's a lot of riffs on here that just sound like Iron Maiden, bro, and are just heavy like that. And I like it, man. So 7 out of 10 for me. Fucking, it's getting progressively heavier. Yeah.
Yo, Rob Halford is definitely full leather daddy. He's full of leather daddy. He opens his closet. There's like 15 different leather getups and whips in there. Yeah, dude, I got to create a new... As soon as we're done with the show, I have to create a new YouTube account. Mine is so fucked. It's like the amount of shit that's in my feed is ridiculous. Anyway, a couple other songs. Heads Are Gonna Roll. That's another song that I can tell like people love. Just a great arena song. There are quite a few on here. I'm gonna award that banger status. I remember I went to this breakfast with my sisters when she just had her kid, and the food was fucking terrible. And my dad was like, "Yo, he obviously knew like it tasted like shit." And he was like, "Yo, if I was king and someone served me this, heads would roll." And I've always thought about that. So yeah, Heads Are Gonna Roll. That's what it reminds me of. I'm gonna award that song banger status. Yo, Rock Hard Ride Free, right? So that's the leftover song from the previous record. And that's another one where I just feel like I've gotten to a point where I can hear songs and I'm like, okay, I know like the big fans love this, even if I don't really, it's like not my favorite. It's like catchy. It'll get stuck in your head. Could have been a single. And so there's going to be like the big singles that people are always going to be going back to. And this one, again, like the people aren't wrong. Like whoever, critics, fans, whatever, are saying like, oh, you don't have like that big, big banger song that you've had before. Because yeah, they're really like, I don't think I've heard any of these songs. Like Love Bites would probably be like the biggest popular song that could be on the radio, and I don't remember even like hearing that song before like ever in my life, and I used to listen to the radio all the time. It doesn't necessarily have that, but once when like people are like really big fans, after the singles are out of the way, there's going to be other ones that like everyone like, you know, sings to when they play live and like cherish or whatever, and Rock Hard Ride Free is definitely probably one of them. I'm obviously completely out of the loop of like the Judas Priest world, but when I hear it, it's like, okay, I feel like that's one of them. Let's read some YouTube comments. First one, amazing how well this still stands up. Timeless album. Next one says, best album outro ever. So fucking epic. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know what this dude's listening to, because when I hear it, it's like this shit doesn't fit anything that we just heard. And I do feel like it was originally also supposed to be the intro on the album. Next one. I forgot how badass this album was. Jesus, the memories from this era. Next one says, I don't think Priest could match Screaming for Vengeance, but they did with Defenders. And lastly, pure metal from start to finish. So yeah, it was a toss up for me at some point, but it's two or three for me this week. I'm still not sure exactly where it's landing. Is there anything else that people want to say about Defenders of the Faith before we move on?
No.
Okay. That's great. Does anyone need to use the bathroom? What's up?
No, I'm good. I just, you know, God damn, you know, would you let Rob Halford inside of you? Like, I'm just asking. Asking for a friend.
He's not the bottom of the list, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I could be in a, well, like a, if you're in a throuple, that means you all have to fuck each other, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of weird.
So it's weird. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm not ready to cross like the gay line yet.
Yeah.
I'll stay on the side, on the sidelines.
I'm too scared of dicks. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I'm just like, I'm in a fear of like them being near my face. It's scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary to me.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. So, all right, we ready to wrap this up?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Firepower is a 14-track record released in 2018, coming in just over 58 minutes long. It's the band's 18th studio album, reaching number 5 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains the singles Lightning Strike, Firepower, and Never the Heroes. Halford describes Firepower as some of our best work, without a doubt, praising guitarist Richie Faulkner for his contributions. Drummer Scott Travis says that it's a little bit of both, of a conscious effort to revisit some of the band's musical past organically and naturally, expressing uncertainty in terms of the writings of the guitar riff. He cites songs Rising from Ruins, Lone Wolf, Evil Never Dies, and Never the Heroes as his favorites. Both Faulkner and Travis agree that Firepower is a heavier album than 2014's Redeemer of Souls, with Faulkner saying that the title track might be the fastest Priest song, especially in terms of the drum approach. A friend of mine, he said it sounds like Painkiller, but faster, so I can't think of another song that's quicker than Painkiller. Halford describes the album's title as the fire and the power of heavy metal music, mentioning the band's other titles such as Screaming for Vengeance, Defenders of the Faith, British Steel, and Sad Wings of Destiny. They all sound great, don't they? You got to have some strength and conviction in the statement that Firepower certainly does. He also expressed satisfaction on his overall vocal performance on the album, describing it being something I can listen to now without self-criticism. It doesn't matter how many records you've made. There's always a new experience you can get with a new producer. We've always made that perfectly clear. We know the value of recording with an outside producer. On Firepower, I was encouraged, coached, and captured. Halford said the band's desire to create the sound of Firepower was to reinvent some of the classic moments of Priest, which we could trace to the length and breadth of our roots. If you think about it with albums like Sad Wings of Destiny, Screaming for Vengeance, Painkiller, British Steel, Sin After Sin, and The Killing Machine, it just goes on and on. But internally, we knew what we meant, so that was the focus. He describes the album as being an incredible moment, not just for Priest, but for heavy metal. Halford has said technology did not change the writing process. He also said that the band did not listen to their classic albums for inspiration during production. But we certainly thought about what was at the core of all those records. At the metal heart of Priest, that's what gave us the direction for Firepower. Rob, what do you think of Firepower?
Quite good. I'm going to give it third place. Okay, so when I was fucking 15 or whatever, like my brother had this idea that like metal musicians, so he would say rock musicians peak at 30 and you go downhill fast and like there's nothing you can do about it. Your career's done. You're never going to be good again. And he said it's even worse for like metal musicians. You peak at 27 and then just your brain's rotted, you know, too much headbanging. You're fucking done. And we could point to this album and like, let's point to the Neurosis albums for a minute. Like the 1996 album called Times of Grace, it's one of my all-time favorite albums. I still listen to it this year, so I've listened to it 500 times easily. And like there's maybe one song on the album that I skip, and so it's just like 200 IQ moments, fucking so many places on that album. all fires, cylinders are all cylinders are firing, you know, and then you fast forward only 5 years to 2001 and their album was Sun That Never Sets or whatever the fuck it's called. It's like there's two riffs on that album that I consider like 200 IQ. And then mostly it drags on with like pointless shit that goes nowhere. And it's just like, yeah, those like my perception at the time is it's fucking real. You only have a couple years to make metal and then your fucking brain is eroded and you're fucking done. So you better fucking die young while you're still good, because there's no fucking hope for you. If that sounds dismal as hell, it fucking is. So you listen to this 2018 Judas Priest album. And by my math, Judas fucking Rob Halford is 72 years old today. So in 2018, he was 68. And he does not sound like a 68-year-old. He does not sound like, this does not sound like, oh, good job, these old guys tried. Like, this is a fucking good album. Like, there's no fucking, like, I don't detect any hint of weakness or, like, this shit's faded or, like, this is a fucking good album. So, like, I want you to feel the sigh of relief as I realize that shit that I used to believe isn't fucking true. It's like your life isn't over if you're if you turn 31 and you know, yeah. So if
yes,
if,
it is. Don't lie. Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. So, and another thing I was told is you only have five good albums in you. You know, and I remember hearing that and I was thinking of Mastodon. Now you remember I loved Remissions. It was like, it was kind of like a sharp album for me. Like there were a couple of tracks that were like 200 IQ and then there were some songs I could go without. And it didn't really fucking go as like there wasn't much flow, and then the next album I thought was pretty fucking like 200 IQ first note to last note, and then like Blood Mountain was like there's a couple of riffs on the song on this album that I like, and then Crack the Sky like I didn't like at all, and so I was like that's what I generally believe about bands is like you have your like peak time. Like if you're fucking lucky, you have one album that's like good beginning to end. And then if you're lucky, you write a good song every once in a while after that. And there's so many people who only write one good song. There's so many people who never write a good fucking song, but like fucking keep trying. But anyways, so you take all that I just said, and then Judas Priest makes their 18th fucking album. Rob Halford joined in 1971, and in 2018, he's still fucking ripping. Like, he's like, to have that much in you, I'm not going to say we all have it in us like they do, but to me, this is a fucking good album. And that's not a pity clap. And you know it's also good that like they aren't the only old guys that are good. Like the new Metallica seemed pretty good. I think I like the Judas Priest better. By the way, Kerry King said that he has a new project coming out in 2024. You know, like Slayer retired in 5 years ago, but Kerry King's not done, so fucking good for him. Yeah, Repentless was quite good. I mean, that was 2015. Yeah. I think they were 52 at the time, but you know, 52 is older than 30. But anyways, to me, this is fucking good news. I'm so fucking proud of these guys for being 65, 68, and like still fucking good. And that's not a fucking pity clap. This is fucking. I imagine they stayed fucking fresh. I mean, okay, so yeah, and I am shitting on Neurosis, but not too hard. I'm shitting on them as somebody who fucking loves them so much, but like they made so many mistakes with like they did one thing well and then like they didn't stay relevant. Like they tried some other stuff and like I feel like they needed help at a certain point, and I don't know that they were able to ask for it. I don't know. When I listen to this 2018 Judas Priest album, I feel like it's modern. It doesn't feel like old guys trying to recreate something that was popular at their time. It sounds modern. It sounds It doesn't sound fucking weirdly out of place. It sounds fucking right. I don't know. I'm gonna stop sucking dick. Third place for the week. That's it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Records like this are very important. You brought up the pity, like, oh, you did a good job, whatever. Like, we've talked about dad rock before, and one of the times where I really thought it was going to happen was with Thrice, To Be Everywhere is To Be Nowhere. I really thought that was going to end up like a dad rock album, and it isn't. It's a fucking banger. That was one of my favorites of the week. Mm. Records like this are very important because they show that a band who once rocked the world can always rock the world. And there's a couple very good examples that are, so this is a later one. This album just came out a couple years back, but in the 2000s, Testament had a record called The Formation of Damnation in 2008. And they showed that they could fucking rock just as hard as they always did. Lizzie Borden had one in 2007 called Appointment with Death, which showed them kind of transitioning to a whole different style of music, and it fucked really hard as well. So there are people, and it's going to be bands, it's going to be actors, it's going to be every style of this, writers, anything, that they've had their heyday at one point, and are they able to kind of stick around for the long haul? Judas Priest can fucking do it. I did a triple take when I first put this on, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And before I looked it up, I was like, okay, this sounds like it's around the Painkiller era, maybe after Defenders of the Faith or whatever. No, it's not. This album's from 2018. This is fucking way after that. So this is either like number two or number three for me, but it's really good. And parts of the reason I think that this record is so good is because even everybody in this band is already fucking great. They've been around forever. Rob Halford is, many people are going to tell you he's one of the greatest frontmen, singers, whatever, in metal history. And they're not wrong, but he is so like smart and intelligent with his, I want to say kind of product, but like, you know, his voice and what he has for sale, that like he took lessons or whatever, or people were coaching him or whatever, and he was willing to listen to them. He's not like, the fuck you, I know what I'm doing, just put me in the recording booth to do this. He listened to what people had to say, and I feel like that is one thing that is always going to help a band. You know what I'm saying? Like taking a step back and listening to what other people have to say, because they might know more than you, or they could just, when you get older, you also could, there are times where either the older you get or the distance between albums can kind of change the way you would have written something before. And if this record is not that far from the last one, I think this is like 4 years. Yeah. So the last one before this was in 2014. So that's, it's not that far away, but having like a big, like a decade in between records is another thing that can really fucking kill you. These guys show that they are fucking just as awesome as they always were. This record it's very possible that this is the heaviest album that they've ever put out. Like the guys who were working on this said this is heavier than the last one. And this album, like, it fucks hard. And it's funny because there's an instrumental that called Guardians that it's like, okay, if this is the heaviest record by the band ever, they have like the softest song ever, right in the smack dab middle of it. And it's an instrumental and it works for me. But like right off the bat, like Firepower, like when you put that on, like sets the precedent for this entire record. Like these dudes, they might be old. Like you're saying, he was 60 something at the time. They might be old, but there's like nothing old about, like, they might be old just physically because you have to age, but there's nothing old about this band. It goes hard, kicks so much ass, and they're just setting up this entire album like perfectly. It's like, we're not fucking around. Like we might be older, but we're here to fucking rock. Lightning Strike, when I hear a song, I'm like, yo, again, these guys are just metal kings. I can't say the word like king enough because these guys deserve it. And a lot of it is because I was away from this band for pretty much ever, besides like the hits on the radio or whatever, learning something, a technique on the guitar that you look them up for me. I have like the utmost respect for these guys as musicians, and like, yeah, Rob Halford, for being in his 60s, like still sounds incredible. Evil Never Dies, right? If you took a song like that out of context and you showed that to somebody, I would not be surprised if no one would ever know that that's Judas Priest. I wouldn't, like, seriously, just like listen to that, put that song in a mix randomly. And like when it comes on, if someone was like, I don't know who the fuck this is, it sounds like a modern metal band, you wouldn't be wrong to like think that that's what it sounds like. That's another one that's like easy single, should have been a single anyway, banger song. And yeah, I don't know, like this record, like I'm saying, like British Steel is fucking awesome, right? And yeah, sure, there's different eras that you can't really completely compare against, and I'm not trying to like pick this band apart and like compare stuff like that anyway. But like this album, like as soon as I turned it on, like you were saying, like some things, like a first couple seconds into a song or whatever, like immediately pull you in. This was like the big one this week that I was like, what the fuck is this? It was like when we played Painkiller for the first time. And I know everyone had the same experience when we pressed play on Painkiller. We were just like immediate boners jerking off. Yeah. That's like what I was getting here. Jomo, what do you think of this record?
It was great. Yeah. This is my jam. I like the better quality production of it. I love the speed of it. It's still got its own fucking Judas Priest feels. I'll keep it short and sweet, but it's fucking, this is it, man. This is like peak fucking Judas Priest for me. Everybody's saying, oh, well, 80s Priest was this, you know, late 70s Priest was that. Nah, man, the more work that they put into, the more time, the better that they get, man, in my opinion. So I would say Firepower was my favorite for the fucking week. It's gay and metal at the same time. Love it.
Nice.
gay and metal goes hand in hand. Yeah. Necromancer, right? Like when I hear it, it's like, how does this shit not get your blood pumping? It gets everyone's blood pumping. And oh yeah. And one of the things I love is the fact that you could go see Judas Priest and they could play a song from like all the different eras and it would just be fucking awesome. Right. You get the newer stuff. So there are newer members from this band. The guitar player is from 2011. Drummer is from 1989. So he started on Painkiller. And yeah, you could get stuff probably from 74. They're probably still playing from their debut. At least one song. The hits from the 80s. Painkillers from the 90s. You can get some stuff from the 2010s. I don't really remember what came out in the 2000s. And it's all like equally badass. There's great shit fucking everywhere. There's a song in here called Children of the Sun. That is another song that was stuck in my head quite a bit. When I was earlier, Becca had some friends over and I was up talking to her, talking to them, kind of, you know, being a host or whatever. And the song was just like repeating in my head over and over and over again. It's so fucking catchy. And last one I want to talk about is Flamethrower, because like Rob was saying, I actually had like pretty much the same thing written out. It's like I could jizz over this record all fucking day. The entire thing kicks ass. Everyone should be glad that they've been blessed with this album's existence, this band's existence, that they were awesome. It is always going to be an easier route from metal band to boring ass pop band, because you don't always have to be firing on all cylinders. Not everyone has to be working together at every moment. So to stay a metal band beginning to end and get heavier and fucking just staying badass is not the easiest thing to do, especially when you're in your mid 60s. And these guys did it and they did a great fucking job. I love this album. I love this band. And yeah, I want to listen to more of them. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First one, Priest is like wine. The older, the better. Next one says, the production on this is so clean. The guitar tone is heavenly. Next comment, thank God for Judas Priest. Next one, I didn't expect that they were still playing, and wow, they still kick ass. And lastly, the best of Priest in many decades. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about this album, Firepower, before we get the fuck out of here?
Fucking amazing.
Okay. They're the shit. Yeah, Judas Priest is awesome. So if you want more than what we've talked about, they had Rock and Roll It in 1974, Sad Wings of Destiny in 1976, Sin After Sin in 77, Stained Class in 78, Killing Machine in 70, also in 78, Point of Entry in 81, Turbo in 86, Ram It Down in 88, Painkiller in 90, Jugulator in 97, Demolition in 2001, Angel of Retribution in 2005, Nostradamus in 2008, Redeemer of Souls in 2014, and in 2024, they are going to be putting out another album that's called Invincible Shield. Damn. Jomo, well, dude, these guys do not fuck around. Time is money.
Yeah.
Jomo, what are we listening to next week?
This is a tough decision to make, but I'm going to go with Primus.
Nice.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I want.
And then I'll troll you guys for the next 5 years after that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it was a pleasure. Take care. Try not to suck dick after this episode.
All right.